It's 8 o'clock. Time to learn a little bit of the parsha. This is Chaim Bravender, and I'd like to mention that this shiur is dedicated by Bati and Eddie Jacobs in honor of their new granddaughter, Mika Ariel, daughter of Nomi and Dor. You know, I have to admit that, I get a little nervous if my students have grandchildren. That really puts me in a pretty old category. But look, we're really happy about the simcha, and I'll try to detach my personal limitations from the simcha that we all have, thanks to Bati and Eddie Jacobs. You know, we're talking about Yaakov, and now we're talking about Yehuda, and everybody loves to talk about them because they impress us as being real people. Real people have ups and downs. Good things happen to them often, and sometimes things that are not so good. And they get into trouble and they get out of trouble. I mean, this is the real world that we're dealing with. And yet, there's certain parts of it that are not so real. The first pasuk. I'm sorry, I've got to get my highlighter done. Vayigash elav Yehuda. So here's Yehuda going to talk to Yosef, but Yosef, you have to remember, is an Egyptian prince. He looks like one, he sounds like one, and he acts like one. Not only is he an Egyptian prince, but he's the Egyptian prince that, and by the way, he has an Egyptian name, which we'll get to in a minute, and he has saved the world. He has saved the world and increased the amount of money in the coffers of the kingship. And here's Yehuda coming from an unimpressive family, from an unimpressive country. And here they are. It's a face-off. It's like it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Vayomer bi Adoni. So Yehuda says, starts off politely, and he says, you know, this is what he says. Yedaber na avdecha davar bazne Adoni. I want to say something. That's not how it works. You don't go to the king of the world and say, excuse me for a minute, I just want to add something. You don't do that. Yedaber na avdecha davar bazne Adoni. I want to just say just a couple of words. You know, like we do that all the time. We love our friends. But if we met up with Paro Melech Mitzrayim, we probably wouldn't do that. Don't get angry. You know, my children say that to me sometimes. Don't get angry. I want to just tell you what's wrong with you. Okay, children, I guess they can do that. What does that mean? I mean, ordinarily, I would say whatever I want, but since you're like Paro, I have to be circumspect. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Look at the Rashi. Davar. That's what the Yidaber Davar. Ba'azne Adoni. Yikansu Divarai Ba'aznecha. I hope you'll be able to hear what I'm saying, and that makes sense. Val Yichar Abcha. Do not get angry. Rashi says, Mikana Talomed. This itself teaches us Shadiber Elav Kashot. It wasn't bad enough that he just spoke to him, but he's going to like say things that he's not going to like to hear. You imagine what's going on here? And then finally he says, Ki kamocha kiparo chashuva ta be'enai kimelech. Zepshuto. Rashi realizes sensitive to the fact that, I mean, if you're gonna, you're interrupting everything. I mean, why say Ki kamocha kiparo? I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? Everybody knows that he is, for all effective purposes, he's paro. But that's not something good. So Rashi said, Medrashot, there's another interpretation and another and another. He says, Sovcha lilkot alav bitzaraat. Ki kamocha kiparo. He's saying something else. Just like Paro was punished, right, with leprosy. Kemosha lakha paro al yedei ziknati sarah. It's like, it's my grandmother, Sarah, who caused this distress for Paro in those days. Halayla achat she'ekeva, he held her back one night. Just that little thing like that. He kamocha keparo. That was what he was saying. According to Rashi, Yehuda saying, you better listen to me. Yehuda says to Paro, you better listen to me. I'm powerful. I can take care of it. I mean, how's he going to take care of it? Okay, another way of learning it. My Paro goes there, mekayim, maftiach. You're just like Paro. Avataka Paro. Paro doesn't keep his promises. You don't keep your promises. And this is what it means to look carefully. To take to look carefully at him. Paro. Again, the same idea that if you annoy me, I will kill you. Ve'et Adonecha and Paro. So, in other words, you don't have to get the specifics here. You don't have to like challenge Rashi. Why did he say this or why did he say that? But you know that Rashi said Ki kamocha kaparo. Well, that's like a tricky statement. It could be positive, but it also could be negative. And so you have another situation. Listen to where Yehuda is taking this chance. He's saying things that are not clear according to Rashi. Is it positive? Is it negative? The next pasuk yutet, Adoni shalat davadav lemo, yesh lachem avo ach. Our master asked his servants, that's us. I mean, it's not like giving in. They certainly, this is a legitimate title. They were the servants of the prince of Egypt. The servants of the prince of Egypt. Adoni sha'ala davadav, Rashi. Right at the beginning, he said something which was suspicious. Why did you ask? Why did you ask about my family, my father? I mean, what's the difference? Are we looking to get married? We're looking to become a family. Abba bichei ne'amar, Abba became v'nomar aladoneinu, lo kichadnu mimcha davar. And in spite of the fact that it didn't make any sense, it's Yehuda. I mean, can you imagine this going on? Yehuda says to Paro, I mean, look, you asked us a few questions. We were interrogated. It didn't make any sense. I mean, why do you want to know about our fathers and the other children at home and what's going on? What are we to you? Are we going to get married to each other? Is it a shidduch? Certainly not. I mean, here's Yosef standing there. Remember, Yosef was also, he knew who he was, but Yehuda didn't know who he was. But Yosef was listening to everything twice. He heard it in Hebrew, and he understood the Hebrew, of course, and then he heard it in Egyptian. Whoever was translating Atomer El Adoni. And then we said, Yehuda says, we have an elderly father, and a young boy who was born in my father's old age, and he had a brother who died, and he's alone. I mean, you understand, they said to Yosef, you understand, the old man likes the young boy. And here's Yosef standing there, you know, thinking that he had it all figured out and planned. Rashi says, so you know that there is this, Rashi says, let's just explain the Rashi, because of Yira, fear, right? Yehuda was consumed with fear. He knew he was doing something crazy, that he was coming to have an argument with the king of the world. With the king of the world. So we have this idea, Rashi points out several times, that the Torah, which is truth, Torah equals truth. I mean, it's the only thing that is true. And therefore, a condition of appearing in the Torah, a condition of speaking the words of Torah, is that those words should be true. And here Yehuda said something that was not true, and the Torah recorded it. So both of them are difficult. But why did the Torah record it? He told a lie. Amar im omar lo shukayam. He said, if I say that this brother is still alive, yomar habiu etzli. So he's going to say, bring him to me, Yehuda. So it's as though Rashi is saying it's not a lie of the type where you simply don't know what you're saying, or purposely try to be misleading. But again, Yehuda was trying to protect the brother. Levado le'imo, v'yoto ha'eim ein lo onach. There's no other brother from that. So it was Yehuda saying things that should not have any effect on the king of the world. Certainly not. V'yoto ha'eim ein lo onach. Pasuk of bet. But no matter Adonai, we told our master, Lo yuchal hanar lazov et aviv. This young boy can't really leave his father. Lazav et aviv, he says, if he leaves his father, the father's going to die. Vatome labdecha, im lo yered achichem akatan itchem. And you said, you the king of the world, you said, if you don't do what I say, right? Don't do what I say, then you're not going to be able to come back again. You won't be able to see my face. You won't be able to see my face. Rashi says, "Im yazov et aviv, if he leaves his father," not perfectly clear. Do agim adu shema yamut baderech. Maybe he, Binyamin, will die. It's not sure. Maybe Binyamin will die on the road. Sharei ima meit imo meita baderech. And Yehuda, you know, brings in a kind of a according to Rashi, a statement which could be understood as providential, that his mother died on the road. His mother, Rachel, Kever Rachel, May not be exactly where she died, but the idea is correct that she died on the way to Yerushalayim, but not where we would have expected. So then he continues to give this So my father didn't want to do it, didn't want to let Varada say, but Tibur Asha'ola, I will die. My old age will bring me into Sha'ol, into hell. Pasuk Lamed, Vata kibo'i el avdecha avi va'anar einenu itanu v'nafsho kshura v'nafsho. And now if I come back to my father and I don't have Binyamin with me, it's just going to be terrible. Just going to be terrible. Rashi says, v'karahu ason, shasatan mikatreg b'shata sakana. This is, it's a bad time. But rather than it's Evati, he says, the father, Yaakov, Achshav kishu etzli ani mitnachem bo alimo v'alachiv. Since he's with me, I am the consolation for what happened to his mother and his brother. V'im yamut zeh dome alay sheshlostam meitu biyom achad. And if he dies, he Binyamin dies, it'll be as though all three died at the same time. Lamed Aleph, you see Lamed Aleph, Vayakir Otoki, Einanar, Vamed, when he sees that I don't have this Binyamin with me, Oridu Avadecha et Sevet Avdecha Vidu Biagon Sheolah, it's going to be terrible. Just terrible. Masuk Lamed Bet, Ki Avdecha Arevet Adnar, I am the surety. I agreed. I made sure that I would be responsible. Me im avi le morim lo avi enu elecha v'chatati l'avi kol hayamim. Chatati l'avdecha kol hayamim. Ki avdecha revet anar. Pasuk lamed bet and Rashi. V'im tomar lama ani nechmas l'tagar yoteh mishar achi. If you'll ask, why am I speaking to you and my brothers are not speaking? They're all outside of the story. I am very, very tied to this story. I will become exiled from two worlds, from this world and from the next world. Finally, how will I be able to go to my father? It's a marvelous speech. It's really marvelous. Here's an unimpressive, unimportant, singular kind of personality from the middle of nowhere, who came to Egypt in order to buy food so that they could continue to exist in a country, Canaan, where there was no food, there was no place to eat, and he was willing to present his own personal issue. He promised his father. He's the one who accepted responsibility. He's the one who said that he would bring him back at all costs. He is the one who has to be front and center on this matter. He Yehuda. He Yehuda. And so you could say that this is a turning point in Jewish history. Up to now, I know the end of the story. I was here last year as well, but I'm just saying, if I place myself into the first time reader of the story, I say, look, the Jewish people is being formulated. They're going to be tribes, and the tribes are going to eventually get to Egypt. And after they get to Egypt, they'll get to Canaan. And when they get to Canaan, they'll conquer the land, they'll divide it up, they'll settle it, they'll become a nation, and they will be Malchut, kingship in that nation, right? Yes. Now, who is the most worthy of being the king of Israel? Wouldn't it be the person who's been a king? Not in name, but in reality. Who's been a king, who looks like a king, who acts like a king, who speaks like a king? Isn't he the one who should be the king of Israel? And yet we see that eventually, who becomes the king of Israel? Yehuda and his family, the children of Yehuda. They eventually, King David, King Solomon, they eventually become the kings in Israel. And here we have it. I mean, you could learn the story in a variety of ways. But what you see is, or it seems that you see, that Yosef, the Egyptian version of Yosef, was mesmerized by Yehuda, by the idea that there was such a protective element in the relationship between Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda was not the son of the mother of Binyamin. Yehuda was the fourth son of Leah. And Chazal said that Leah gave him the name Yehuda because it's a takeoff on the word Hodah. She was, in the birth of Yehuda, she was thankful. And she says, my husband, Yaakov, has four wives. And we know that he's going to have 12 children. That means each one of the wives should have three children. But I, Leah, I have my fourth child, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. I have my fourth child. And since I had my fourth child, I'm thankful to God who enabled me in this regard to be extraordinary. And so she called him Yehuda. She called him Yehuda. And later on, that name became the way he was. Because when his encounter with Tamar was discovered, he admitted it. Tzadkami meni. She was righteous and I was not. That's what Yehuda said. So that became a quality that Yehuda has. And here he is in this particular passage. These passages, Yehuda says, this is who I am, and this is what I do, and this is what I'm responsible for. And he didn't think for a moment that Yosef, the Egyptian version of Yosef, of course, that Yosef would just not be interested. He wouldn't be interested. But if we understand that sometimes you have to do the right thing even if it doesn't make sense. You have to do the right thing even if you don't have the wherewithal to make the demand. But sometimes you just have to make the demand. And that's what Yehuda said and did. So what I would like to do at this time, now that we've thought about it a little bit, is listen to the words of the Shem Yishmuel. Something that can be called chassidut. A different kind of way of looking at it. But maybe not so different. In any event, we'll take a look. There at the Neva Shas Sota, you see it in the Gemara. Masechet Sota, it says the following. He quotes the Gemara. Yosef Shekidei Shem Shamayim B'Seiter. Yosef sanctified God's name in a hidden manner. Zachav Osifulo Ot Achat B'Shumo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see the Pasuk above? The Tehillim Perek Pei Aleph Pasuk Vav, Eidut Bi Yehosef Samo. So it's the same name, but it's an extra letter. The extra letter is a hey. And a hey is one of the letters of the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? Nireh Dehinei B'Shah Sota, Yosef Shekinei Shavai Vaseter, Zachav osifu lo ot achat mishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. I get it. I don't know if it's a permanent, it's the only case in the Tanakh. Yehuda, on the other hand, Shekinei Shem Shemayim b'fahesya, he did it b'fahesya, like when he had his case with Tamar. He said, Sadkami many, and everybody heard him. Everybody knew it. Lefikach nikra kulo al shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yehuda, the name Yehuda, contains all the letters of God's name. Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey. V'yesh la'avin. When he says Yesh Lavin, there we could understand. He means we don't understand. Bishlama Yosef nitosva lo haot achar shekidei shem shamayim. It's true for Yosef. The letter was added to his name after he did what he did, after he was sanctified God's name. Shemikara, originally, Ayad Nikra Yosef, Achakas Yosef. First he was called Yosef. Later on he was called Yehosef. Okay, I get it. Aval Yehuda, but Yehuda, this is not the case. Are Nikra Kach Me'olam, that was his name. As we said previously, his mother gave him that name. He was born in Yehuda. So how could you say he got his name because of the way what he did? Umizener, eh? And here I understand, according to this is this is what the Shemesh Shmuel said to me. Umizener, eh? Shashas medaber mimahutam. That the hay of Yehosef is just a sign. But that's the way he is. He's a private person. And therefore, his achievements, his righteousness, they come in privacy. Now, privacy could mean, when you look at him, you saw the king of Egypt. You didn't see a Jew. You didn't see a Jew, but inside of him, he was a Jew. He taught his children. He did the mitzvot. Shezemahuto aita lekadesh shem shamayim b'seita. That was Yosef. Yosef's quality, his humanity, was entirely b'seita in a hidden way. And Yehuda, whatever he did openly. And therefore, it's okay. Mada b'shat sota sham ita. He's quoting again. The hada kidei shem shamayim b'farhesya. Hainu, the Yehuda, who did it before Esya? Who did it in public? Yehuda, Amar Tzadka Mimeni, you remember. He said about Tamar, Satkami many, she's more righteous than I am. Visham, there the Gemara. Hainu de kafatz tchila letoch amayim. That was the descendant of Yehuda, Nachshon, jumped into the water. Kvar tamu al ze hamifarshim. And they asked this question, the commentators, ulefi devarenu shashas bedaber mahutam, that the Shas is talking about the essential nature of the people who are descendants, even the people who are descendants of Yehuda, Lakasha Klau, Deha, Vehaita, which they have Eidim al Mahuto, they both are correct, Yehuda and Nachshon. Vahainu de Yosef midatol liyot hakol, Vitit Peseu bevigdo, that she grabbed onto his cloak. I'm sorry. I call Bester Vatsnea Veloher Ad Godel Tzidkato Lachutz. That was Yosef. Kimoshe Katu Vayi Yosef Yivei Torah Vivei Mare, the beginning of Vayeshev, it says that Yosef was a good looking boy. Yivei Mare. Upirish Rashi Misal Seu Misaro, he would curl his hair to make sure he looked nice. And that meant that he didn't want people to think he was really, like, profoundly, seriously religious. He wanted people to think that he was regular. Vizora Kadosh in the Zora, it says, Vatit Peseu Bevigdo, she held onto his cloak, Mashma, Shekpid al Malbushav. He, Yosef, was like a nappy dresser. Sheyunaim, he wanted his clothing to be pleasant. Velo yadner e lachutz, masha belibo tzadik yisod olam. He didn't want people to know that he was a righteous person. Yisod olam, his righteousness held up the world, the entire world. While Cain, his minli yado. Kiddush Shem Shamayim Nami Beseter, and he wanted to do everything Beseter. Yehuda, and Yehuda Kol Yuro Imitzit Kato, they all saw Yehuda was also righteous. V'haya Bechitzoniot Gamken Tzadik Tamim, and even in the way he presented himself, he was clearly a righteous person. Kemoshe Katuv later on, Yehuda ta yuducha checha alder al dvar pirush Rashi zal al kein nistamein lo kiddush shem shamayim nami bifarhesya. So I'm not sure there's a difference. I'm not sure there's a difference in the way we try to explain and the way the Shem Yeshua explains. He said, you have two people. You have two people. One was the Sar HaPnim, and the other is the Sar HaChutz. And if you are looking for leadership, naturally the leadership has to go to the person who knows how to operate before Hesia. And the person who knows how to operate before Hesia is Yehuda. And Yehuda is going to become the king. Yosef is not made for this world. Not made exactly for this world. He could only operate in a disguise. He didn't want anybody to know who he really was. He was hiding behind the economic situation. The numbers, the money, the deals, all of these things were part of Yosef's activities, but they didn't represent Yosef at all. In fact, people like Yosef have difficulty living in the world of the chitzonim, of the real desire to move in a certain direction. And so in this, these psukim that we learned together today, I mean, you have Yehuda making the claim, which seems to me and maybe to us to be unreasonable. I mean, you don't talk that way to a king unless you are a king. And it may be that the kingship of Israel at that moment actually passed into the hands of Yehuda. And it may be that Yehuda didn't know that Yosef was Yosef. He thought that Yosef was the king of Egypt. That's what seems to be the case. But suddenly Yehuda knew that he was somehow on a par with who he was standing before. And that the person who was standing before him, Yosef, would not be able to respond properly to the argument that Yehuda was presenting. Even though the argument was not an argument about victory, not an argument about money, and not an argument about politics, nevertheless, it was an argument about humanity. And Yehuda was challenging Yosef's humanity. And we know because that's how the story is told, that the next thing that happened was that Yosef burst into cry. And he had to admit to the brothers who he was and why he was doing what he was doing. And so Yehuda not only won the argument, but Yehuda changed the world. He made it possible for Am Yisrael, which had not yet really been born, to have kingship. And kingship, and that kingship would be related ultimately to Yehuda, even though there were some quirks along the way. I mean, first king of Israel was Shaul. Shaul was from the tribe of Binyamin. Okay. Who knows? Binyamin shared a border with Yehuda. And on that border was the Beit HaMikdash. So it may be in some way the idea that Yehuda would be the king started with Shaul HaMelech. And Shaul HaMelech was somehow connected to Yehuda, the Beit HaMikdash, the kingship of Israel. But in any event, after Shaul had passed to David, and then the prophecy that Yehuda would become king actually came to be. So even though, you know, we don't know exactly, we don't know too much about the emotional side of the characters in the Bible, I don't think there was anything wrong with giving them emotions, giving them an emotional side. And Yosef could not maintain his kingship, his hidden kingship before the argument that Yehuda presented, and that created the change in Jewish history. And there's really the idea that the Shemesh Shmuel says that there's the Bahesio person and then there's the Tzinor person, the public person, the person who operates on the level of the public and the person who operates in a hidden manner. He says those things are certainly reasonable ways of expressing the difference between Yehuda and Yosef. From this point on, Yosef begins to lose his glory, and Yehuda will ultimately attract a new kind of Jewish personality. Have a good Shabbos. All the best.